just felt like I was there in the manger scene. Amen. Didn't you? It's just like one of those songs that somebody sings on a movie or something, you know, about the nativity. And as precious as that is, boy, when she kicked it up a notch and she talked about Jesus Christ being the Savior. Now that's why we call this journey through Christmas. It's a journey through Christmas. So take your Bibles, please, and turn to Joshua, Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, chapter number 7. Joshua, chapter number 7. Anybody in here ever had a heart attack? Raise your hand. You ever had a heart attack? Oh, gracious, hold them up high. Quite a bunch. They tell me that sometimes it can feel like an elephant is sitting on your chest. They tell me that sometimes it feels like a pain, like someone sticking a knife through you. Different people, different descriptions. But the ache and the progression and all that kind of thing. I'm not making light of that in the least by this title. But I am drawing a comparison. How to avoid an aching heart. How to avoid an aching heart. Now, doctors tell us all the time, we need to do this, need to exercise, need to eat right, need to all these kinds, give us a nice long list of things in order to try to have a healthy heart. We're going into something here that I will not lie to you. This is far beyond any human sightedness of what you are going to face. We are going into spiritual battle. We are. If you think for one moment that the enemy is going to allow us unhindered to stand up and give folks an opportunity to see Jesus in a very real way and present the gospel and give an opportunity for them to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're perhaps headed towards the gates of hell, and someone is standing there, at the gates of hell, saying that Jesus is the way of salvation, and one after another is going to receive Christ as their Savior. You think that the enemy is going to allow that to go on without any offense? But may I remind you that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And as God charged Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, He told them, this is what I want you to do. This is what I have planned for you to do. This is what I wanted you to do 40 years ago. And now Joshua is leading an obedient generation of people into the promised land. And if you recall in chapter 6, they came to Jericho, a walled city that they were not equipped. They were not trained, they were not experienced in any way to take a city, especially a walled city. And God said, don't worry about the walls, I'll take care of those. And He did. And a great victory was won. And God told them, He said, now, this is the first battle. This is the first victory. And the spoils go to My glory, go to My praise. And take all the valuables and put them in the treasury of the Lord as they were going to be preparing to make this this offering unto God. And this, He said, all this goes unto Me, unto the Lord. And He called it an accursed thing. Do not take anything of it. And yet there was a man who decided that he wanted to do differently. Chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, look up at me, please. Wouldn't you think it would have been fair for God to be angry at Achan? Oh, absolutely. That's fair. But the Bible says here that his anger was kindled against the whole congregation because of one guy. And it wasn't like the whole congregation was aware of what he did. I mean, it was secret. It was hidden. His family probably knew. But no one else outside his immediate family probably ever knew a thing. And yet God was angry at the whole congregation. The Bible says that they went, in the next few verses, they went to the next city in the plan. City was a small little town in comparison called Ai. They spied out the land and they said, you know, we don't need the whole army. Let's just take 3,000 men. We can handle this. Now, that was an error right there. You see, they kind of planned things on their own. Nowhere in the Bible do we find them getting alone with God and saying, God, we need your plan. It seems obvious that we can take them, but what do you want? And how do you want? We have no record of them going to God. We have no record of God telling them what to do. In chapter 8, we find God explaining to Joshua what the plan was to take Ai, but they did not consult with God. May I tell you today, please consult with God and humble yourself before Him every single day. Lord, I pray that you would help me to walk in your steps. Lord, help me not to do a performance. I pray, God, that you will speak through me, and I'm going to give you some things to try to help us not have an aching heart. The Bible says in chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, that Joshua, whenever they were defeated and 36 men died, life and death, 36 men died needlessly. They took Jericho and they had zero casualties, none. They go up against a little village named Ai, and 36 men died needlessly, 36 widows. And Joshua, it records him going to God, and it records him going in prayer and criticizing and saying, God, why? What did you do? And then God tells Joshua in verse number 10, look at it. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. We often blame God for things that God did not do. I have in my pictures, I probably should have brought it and put it up on the screen for you, but I was looking through some pictures on Friday or Saturday. Betsy was wanting some things for the bulletin, and I was flipping through some past pictures. As I was flipping through, I ran across a screenshot from someone's phone from the year, a few years ago, a journey through Christmas, that a great storm was coming our way. It was a storm coming through with thunder, and you know, it was yellow and red and all that on the radar, and you just saw it. You saw it coming our way. And we'd go out there. I would go out there in the front area in those early years. I'd look up in the sky and say, God, please, please. I'm backstage. You know, no one can see me or hear me. But I'm praying, God, please hold back the rain. There are people that are going through hearing the gospel, seeing the gospel. Hold back the rain. Hold back the rain. And I think Brother Craig, I think you showed me on your phone there in the Calvary scene. You were in the Calvary scene that year. And if I'm not mistaken, in between groups, I think you pulled out your phone. You said, looky here. And that whole front, as it came near us, that whole front separated and parted into two fronts and went around Orange City. It came back together after it passed us. And I have a screenshot from someone's phone that someone saved of that. And no doubt the people were looking back at Jericho and they were thinking, oh, hey, this is great, this is wonderful, we're victorious, we're the winners. No one can stand before us, especially this little village here. Let's just go and we'll just show God what we can do. Hey, listen, folks, if we try to show God what Volusia County Baptist Church can do, we will fall on our face. But much worse than that, much, much worse than that. Hannah Bailey's right back here. Hannah Bailey works with a dear lady, and this dear lady is not saved. She does not attend a Bible teaching church. The church she attends, if she got saved as a result of attending that church, it'd be a miracle of God. It would be a sheer accident if she got saved. And she's witnessed to her and she's lost. And this dear lady's planning on coming on Friday night. Now, perhaps on Friday night, you've done your part on Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night, and guess what? You're getting tired. And you think, I know my line. I've got to just do this over here, and I've got to act this way, or I've got to seat people over here in the congregation as they're coming in and waiting. And boy, two more days. Please, dear God, help this to get over with. And it just so happens that that dear lady, unbeknownst to anyone, that dear lady hears one of us maybe just slicing and dicing somebody, maybe just venting, maybe just saying things or doing things or acting a certain way and all that, and the water of this world just puts out any fire of interest. And when she comes to the invitation room, all she can remember is what happened and what she witnessed from some of our church folk. You say, well, Achan said, well, I was just taking a little bit of silver and just one little wedge of gold and just one little garment. I mean, just surely I can have that. God said, no. This was his work. He said, it's accursed. Don't touch it. He thought it didn't apply to him. How to avoid an Achan heart. I'm not going to go into all the things that happened to Achan. It wasn't good. I'm not going to go into what happened to his wife and his children. It wasn't good. May I just say this? Our sin or our carelessness will always affect others. It will always affect others. So let me just talk with you for a few moments, and then we'll move on for the rest of the night. Here we are, three things. If you want to avoid having an aching heart, then you focus this week on having a sinless heart, first of all. A sinless heart. What I mean by that is this. You focus on, if there's something that crosses your mind that should not be in your mind, then you confess it to God immediately. If something comes out of your mouth and you think, oh, dear Lord, I'm sorry. Confess that. Keep short accounts with God. Keep a close communion. Keep a firm fellowship with your Savior this week. You see, you are the preacher this week. Do you know that? We just give an invitation. That's all we do. You're preaching the message in the snack tent. You're preaching the message in the parking lot. In the cast, you're preaching the message, Brother John. You're the preacher this week. You know, isn't it amazing that someone that doesn't even actually say anything, have you ever watched and when you're, when, have you ever just focused on one character on something and you've noticed, and they don't say a thing, they don't do anything spectacular, but you're noticing and you sense that even the one who's an extra, so to speak, you sense that they feel it's real. And so you make a decision based on that one person that the whole thing is real. You're the preacher this week. Don't you think that a preacher should be clean before God before he preaches a message? Amen. You're the preacher this week. Have a sinless heart. A sinless heart. You say, well, is that possible? Yes, it's possible. In fact, it's commanded. Jesus said, be ye holy even as I am holy. So it has to do with holy actions, a sinless heart. Secondly, I hope you'll remember these. Have a spiritual heart. A spiritual heart. A sinless heart and a spiritual heart. Have a heavenly anointing upon you. Have the Holy Spirit of God filling you. You see, if sin is out of the way, if we are consciously saying, God, I want to be a clean vessel, then the next step is that we can say, Holy Spirit, now take this dead body, this clean vessel. I'm not harboring any sin in the corners of my heart. And Holy Spirit, would you please use me and help me? Help me in the kitchen to be a blessing to those as they come through. They've raced through traffic trying to get here, almost died on the way. and help me to somehow encourage that actor who comes and they've got a little plate in front of me, and help me not just to, there you go. Boy, you just made it in time. We were just, you know, I'm messing with you. But that goes with everything. A spiritual heart. The Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide us this week. He wants to help us. And he'll tell you to do things sometimes that you're wondering. This happens to me all the time. I don't know if it happens to you or not. But all the time, the Holy Spirit will lead me to do something or to say something or to go over here. He'll just nudge me ever so gently in my heart. Go and see that person. Right. Brother Tom, a lot of times, too many times, I'll just push that aside. Well, I need to see her first. I need to see Marlene first, you know, second. And when I get through talking with Marlene, and I think, I'll go do that, I happen to look up, and that person is now walking out the door, and they're gone. Or it could be that I happen to look up, and that person now, there's someone standing there that I needed to see. I needed to have an impact. And God sent me over there because he had a purpose for me to be there. Listen, folks, that's the way God works. He knows what's going to happen. If we have a spiritual heart and we're sensitive to his promptings and obedient to his leadership, then there'll be something that in between scenes, in between groups coming through, you might be a help and a blessing to someone else, some other actor, some other helper in that scene that maybe their life has fallen apart that day. Maybe they're the ones that Satan has attacked that day. And maybe everything went wrong and they're just doing their best not to have tears coming down their cheeks. They have a plastic smile on their face. And maybe in the dark times, in between scenes, in between groups, you can minister to that person on our team. Maybe God wants you to do that. That's a spiritual heart. A sinless heart leads to a spiritual heart, which then will bring you to a point that you can have a servant's heart. A servant's heart. A servant doesn't have any rights. A servant looks to help someone else. Here's what a servant-hearted church member does. They're getting here to the church, and one of Brother John's Parker people are out there trying to get people in certain spots. And you really, 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 you know, your back's kind of hurting and that kind of thing. And they say, I want you to park right over here. Right over where? Right over here. Way back in the corner. Over there. You say, okay. Or a self-hearted person says, well, I don't know. I mean, I you don't understand. And they're just trying to do their job. But you see, if you don't have a sinless heart, you cannot have a spiritual heart. And if you don't have a spiritual heart, good luck with having a servant's heart. Not going to happen. And here's a guy named Achan. And his sin that he held, that he thought he could get by with, that no one but God saw, it cost 36 people their lives, and it cost him his life and the life of his wife and the life of his children. So, in a few moments, we're gonna break up here. We're going to go our separate ways. And we're going to prepare. We're going to do everything that we can on our end, on our side, of God's hand, of God's grace. I believe that God blesses when we prepare. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We're studying, okay? So I believe that God's pleased with that. We're not presuming upon his grace. But before you go, I want you to look within your heart. I want you to commit to God this week that as a preacher, this week as a preacher. You're going to say, God, I want to have a holy walk with you. I want to have a sinless heart. And God, I want to have a spiritual heart. I want to be in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. I want Him to lead me and guide me. And then, Lord, I want to do like Galatians 2:20. I want self to be on the cross, and I want to have a servant's heart. If we will do that and point people to Jesus Christ, there aren't enough demons and devils of hell to stop and hold back the blessing of Almighty God. Amen. Millie, do you remember an unfortunate situation when you and Walt invited a dear loved one to Journey Through Christmas a few years ago? And that dear loved one was unsaved. And there was an unfortunate situation. They got him a fast pass. You say, well, you get fast passes? Well, that kind of grew out of a point of need. And they got him a fast pass. This was several years ago. And I think maybe it was one time it was a boss. I think one of Walt's bosses or something. Or maybe it was a parent. I can't remember exactly. And there was something that happened. And they questioned that, no, you have to come in here. No, I was given a fast pass. It's right here. Somebody was trying to keep the rule, and someone was trying to show that they were in charge, and they had authority, and they had power, and they were going to tell them what for. And they did. And they left. And they left. We're talking about eternal souls here, folks. And we're going to set a program in motion. And those things are there to help the overall, you know, thing to go. But when it's all said and done, you know what really matters? The glory of God and people that need to be saved. Those two things. Amen. Those two things. That's really what matters. And we'll wrap procedures all around those things to bring glory to God and to bring people to Jesus Christ. So be careful this week. Have your spiritual armor on. Because guess what can happen? You can get shot by one of your fellow soldiers. Friendly fire can happen. Now, shame on the one who pulls a trigger. Shame on the one who's careless. Shame on the one who's got a loose tongue and just, you know, la, 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 la. Shame on that one. But you don't have to join in. And when someone's out of sorts, and it could happen to you, it could happen to me, when someone's out of sorts, then apply Scripture. The Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Scale down. Scale down. You know, the Lord will take care of that. Don't worry. The Lord will work it all out. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. You're way beyond a church member here. You're an anointed servant of God. And if you're on your knees, you're going to make Satan tremble. You are.